Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Don't Promise by Julie Treadle, narrated by Carly Robbins and Joe Hempel. Marie, Chapter 1. I'm not going to take no for an answer, Marie. Girl, you spent our entire freshman year actually studying. You have a 4.0 GPA. You're going to take some time for fun this year. We're sophomores now, and don't you walk away from me, I'm serious. Now put on the outfit I picked out. We are going to that party, Jess said. I sighed. This certainly wasn't the first time we'd had this same conversation. Remind me again why I'm still rooming with you, I asked her. Besides, you're not exactly any better. She stuck her tongue out at me. We, as in you and me, are going to that party. But you hate parties. I know. But Tim was invited. And since he's sort of living there, we have an obligation to go. All of Greek Row will be there. Plus, I hear Hudson Guffey will be there too. Aren't you two like best buds or something? I frowned. I'm sort of avoiding him at the moment. Why would you do that? Because I promised him I'd set you up on a blind date with his brother. Remember? And then you had to go and find your true mate, and I don't know how to break the news to him that the date is off. Why can't you just say no for once in your life? I lifted my chin in defiance. You're right. I am. Right now. I'm going to do it. No, Jesse, I am not going to that party. Sorry, but you're on your own. I immediately felt guilty the second the words came tumbling out. I hated the thought of disappointing anyone, but especially someone I cared about. She scowled. I totally walked into that one. Yeah, you really did. Don't make me face him in ruin tonight. When's the big blind date? Tomorrow night. What are you going to do? I have no idea. I've tried to guilt everyone I know into going in your place. My place? But I never agreed to that. I know, but I agreed to it for you. Remember? You have serious issues. Tell me something I don't already know. I rolled my eyes. To my surprise, Jesse dropped the subject. She had Tim now, so she really didn't need me as her wingman. That both excited and saddened me. More often than not, it was me dragging Jessie places. But when she wanted to do something and I didn't, she always gave me the business. And if I wanted to do something she really didn't want to do, then she knew just how to play to my weakness and get out of it. The truth was, I had a guilty conscience. Why? Who knew why? I was just born this way. I felt guilty about most things, and really struggled to say no, even when I didn't want to do something, because I was afraid I'd disappoint someone. Being a people-pleaser was exhausting, but I couldn't seem to stop it. I'd accepted long ago that this was just my life. I was destined to follow orders, play by the rules, and obey. One of Jesse's favorite movies was this princess one where the fairy godmother cursed the girl with obedience, and any time someone told her to do something, she had to do it. Jesse loved that movie and thought it was hysterical, but for me, it often hit a little too close to home. Sure, I didn't have to obey everyone else's command, but I sure felt guilty if I didn't. It was a curse. I was convinced of it. Even after Jesse left to meet up with Tim, I still felt bad about telling her no. Between my guilt complex over that and the stress over what to do about the blind date I'd set up for a friend that no one would go on, I really didn't get any studying done or anything. It's a Friday night. Give yourself a break and go out and have some fun. That was my inner conscience talking. But did I listen? Nope. I just sat around stewing about it until I finally got up and walked down to the lounge area. There were a few people hanging out in there, which wasn't uncommon for my dorm on a Friday night. "Hey, Melissa," I said, sitting down next to her. I didn't really know Melissa all that well, but the few times we'd spoken, she seemed nice. She was talking to Violet, a skunk shifter that I had English lit with last year. "Hi, Violet." "The answer is no," Melissa said. "What?" I didn't ask anything. It's all over the dorm that you're on the hunt for someone to set up on a blind date. We barely know each other, but just to be clear, I'm not your girl. Why? He's a great guy. Not interested. I do not do blind dates. Or dates at all, really. You're a beautiful young woman who should be out there playing the field and having fun.
Not going to work, I sighed.
At least I tried. Violet? Me? Oh no, I couldn't possibly. Come on, Violet, it'll be fun. It's at the really nice steakhouse in town, and he's paying.
I couldn't possibly do that, she stuttered.
Sure you could, and I have no doubt he's a great guy and you'll enjoy the evening.
Hold up. You don't know this guy? Melissa asked.
No, I'm helping his brother out, she laughed.
So this guy is such a loser that he has to have his brother ask a friend to set him up on a blind date?
It's not like that. At least, I hoped it wasn't like that.
So if you don't know him, then why don't you just go? She suggested.
Me? I scoffed.
Yes, you. If he's such a great guy and all.
But I don't even know him.
That's why it's called a blind date.
I growled in frustration. Never mind. I got up in a huff and stormed back to my room. I couldn't possibly go on a blind date with Hudson's brother. That was absurd. Why was it even such a big deal? Didn't people go on blind dates all the time? I would think any one of those girls would be lucky to do this. I slunk down onto my bed. Why couldn't they just say yes for me? Why was I always the one compromising for everyone else? I decided that for once I was going to be defiant. I wasn't going to worry about other people's problems. I was going to just speak up and tell Hudson that it wasn't going to work. My friend found her true mate. And maybe that sucks for him and his brother, but it wasn't my problem. After a personal pep talk, I picked up my phone to text Hudson the news. But there was a new text from him already waiting for me. Hudson, thanks for the hookup tomorrow. Holden's so excited. I can't wait to hear all about it. And just like that, my plan crumbled. Why don't you just go? Melissa's words echoed through my mind. I couldn't do it. Could I? I'd never been on a blind date before. I wouldn't even know what to do or say. What do you wear to something like that? How do you act? So many questions running through my head. The one thing I knew for sure was that Hudson was counting on me. I had roughly 20 hours. If I couldn't find someone to do this, then I would have to go. I had promised, and I couldn't let my friend down. But what if he really is a loser? Hudson was a decently attractive guy. If I didn't actually know him, I'd say he was pretty hot, even. He was only a sophomore, but was kind of a big deal on campus as the backup quarterback of the football team. Most girls would do absolutely anything to have a date with him, though I'd never even considered him as anything more than a friend. Hudson and I had a couple classes together. He had some learning struggles and had sought my help freshman year. Now he had to keep his grades up to stay on the football team, and his fraternity also frowned upon low grades. Pretty much everyone in class we'd had together this year would volunteer to study with him, but he was smart enough to know that most of them just wanted to know him for his star status around campus. I, on the other hand, could care less about sports, and I'd known him before all the fame kicked in. It wasn't my thing at all, and I wasn't easily impressed by any of it. Hudson sort of liked that about me. We worked well together, and I'd even helped him out in a few classes we didn't have together. Over the last year and a half, I like to think we'd grown to be actual friends. There was a lot more to him than just a jock with a handsome face. It was just that most people didn't take the time to truly get to know him. I knew he had a brother because he told me so when he asked me to help him set the guy up. It was a small school, and there was plenty of gossip, especially when it involved an all-star football player. Yet I'd never really heard about his brother until he mentioned it, just before winter break. There were rumors that next season Hudson would become the first-string quarterback and had prospects of maybe playing professionally after college, but nothing of this mysterious brother. Hudson's story was kind of cool, though, a real underdog tale. He hadn't come to the Arc to play football. In fact, he'd told me he'd had an injury in high school that had killed his dreams of going pro. It had been a massive concussion at the start of his senior year, and he'd confided in me that sometimes he still struggled with short-term memory. But after 2 years of therapy, the doctors had cleared him to play again. Last summer, he'd just walked in for open tryouts and surprised the crap out of everyone. It was all anyone talked about first semester. But I'd known him before all of that. I didn't see him as some big rising superstar. He was just
Hudson, my goofy, sometimes inappropriate, always easygoing friend. We had been studying late for finals just before break when he told me that he'd been worried about his brother Holden. That was the first I'd heard of his brother, and I still didn't know a ton about him. Hudson was a good-looking guy, so maybe Holden was too. Or maybe he was the ugly brother, and that was why he needed Hudson to set him up on a blind date. I really wasn't in the dating market. I had more than enough on my plate with school. I didn't need the distraction. But aside from studying, Hudson had never asked me for a favor before. When he'd mentioned Holden and how he was worried he was falling into the party scene a little too much, whatever that meant, and just wanted to see him date a nice girl, I immediately thought of Jessie. It had seemed perfect at the time, and we'd concocted the plan to take place shortly after the new semester began. Then Jessie had to go screw it all up by meeting Tim. Sure, he was her true mate, but did she have to rush into all that so quickly? It was just going to be one stinking little date. Why don't you just go? I hated that idea, but if I didn't find a miracle soon, that was exactly what was going to happen, because the thought of disappointing Hudson made my stomach churn. I hated that I was such a pushover and that I allowed myself to be, but there was absolutely no way I was going to say no.
Holden. Chapter 2. Hudson had done it again. He was always getting me into crap I didn't want to do. We might look similar, and a lot of people struggled to tell us apart, but we weren't identical. I had never understood how others couldn't tell that. We looked nothing alike as far as I was concerned, but it had been a constant problem, though on occasion we had been known to use it to our advantage. Hudson was the jock and the one most people knew. We'd played together and been quite the dynamic duo growing up, but as we headed into high school, I found a love of art, and he stayed with football up until his injury. I would never forget that day. It had been a hard hit, and he'd just laid there not moving. I don't know how I hadn't thrown up. It was terrifying watching from the stands, unable to help him in any way. Before that, we'd grown apart some. He'd had his world, and I'd had mine. I always knew I would go to college at Archibald Reynolds, but never in a million years did I think Hudson would, too. He was supposed to be a number one draft pick for one of the big human schools so he could follow his dream of someday going pro. The concussion had changed that plan, and not just on the field. Before, academics had always come easy for my brother, and while he wouldn't admit it to me, I could see how much harder he had to work now. The positive part of the injury was that it had brought us so much closer together, and I felt horrible at times for being grateful for it. Mom always said he was the loud, boisterous one that distracted everyone away from me, but while I was far quieter, I had never actually lived in my twin's shadow. As she put it, I was generally the evil mastermind behind every second of trouble Hudson got into. It wasn't that I was quiet by any means, just quieter compared to him. When we came to the Ark, we decided to room together. It just made sense. We were placed in a suite setup and pretty much befriended our three suite mates immediately. Finn, Asher, and Dylan were great, and until Hudson joined the football team, the five of us had been inseparable. So when I had announced I wanted to join the Dogs, they all dove right in alongside me. There had been a moment when I thought I had screwed up too much and had blown my chances. I'd been trying to eavesdrop on a brothers' meeting while we were still pledging, and I'd been busted. Before I knew that they had found out I was there, I had listened in on the votes, and they had approved all four of the guys and declined me. Later I learned that was just because they knew I was snooping around. Wouldn't that have been some shit if everyone had gotten in but me when I was the only reason the guys had gone out for the fraternity to begin with? Fortunately, that hadn't happened. We all lived together in the doghouse now. As Delta Omega Gamma brothers, we do anything for each other. But that was magnified by a million when it came to me and my twin brother, who was also my best friend. So when he came to me and asked me for a favor for a friend, I simply couldn't figure out a way to tell him no. Why were those two little letters so hard to put together when it came to him? Most of the time I didn't have a problem in that department. But when he gave me those big, brown, puppy dog eyes and said, "Please, Hold, do it for me," I struggled to find that all-important word that would get me out of doing something I feared I was going to regret. That's how I had gotten stuck on agreeing to a blind date. A blind date? Who even did that anymore? I certainly didn't need any help getting a date, but I guess my brother mistakenly thought I did. Why else would he have intervened? I'd spent most of the first semester going out with a different girl, or two, or three, every week. I was having the time of my life. I suppose he'd been too wrapped up in football to notice. I was not looking forward to this big date. How much of a dog must this girl be to need to be set up by a friend to get a date? I tried to look at it as a charity case. I was going to take her out, have a few drinks, a nice meal, and with any luck I'd be home in time for the party the Theta girls were throwing. I'd almost hooked up with Tiffany the night before. If Dylan hadn't had so much to drink, and if I hadn't been selected to babysit him, then things would have gone a lot differently last night. Tonight, I hoped to make up for having to leave her early and pick up just where we'd left off. I could certainly look forward to that. I just had to make it through the Mercy date first. All I knew about the girl was that her name was Jess, and she was a sweet girl, some friend of Hudson's. I didn't even know who his friend was, but when I'd pressed, he finally caved and confessed it was his study partner. Great. I'd been set up by a nerd for her nerd friend. Nerds could be pretty, too, I supposed. Maybe I'd luck out and score a hot librarian type. I could possibly get on board with that. Mostly I had already written the date off and was counting down the hours until I could see Tiffany again. "Hey, man, we're going to go grab some lunch. You coming?" Finn asked. "Yeah, sure. Just give me a minute." I finished a few last marks on the picture I was sketching and then put up my pencils and sketchbook to follow the guys to the cafeteria for lunch. The best part about the cafeteria was the unlimited buffet. Once inside, we could eat as much as we wanted with just one punch. Most shifters ate a lot, so it was awesome. I ate at least one meal a day there, and usually all of them. The other places around campus were nice and had great food, but you were limited to only what you purchased. I didn't want to choose. I wanted to eat. "Are you ready for tonight?" Hudson asked as I sat down with a plate piled high with all of my faves. "What's tonight?" Finn asked. Asher snickered. "His big blind date." I groaned. "I don't want to talk about it." "You're really going through with it?" Finn asked. I side-eyed my brother. Hudson grinned. "Why wouldn't he? I'm sure Jessie is a great girl." "Wait, you don't know her? Like, at all?" I asked. "This is awesome," Asher teased, cheering Hudson on. "No, I've never met her before, but my friend assures me she's great." I had never wanted to murder Hudson more than I did in that moment. I was being set up by his friend to someone he didn't even know. What else could possibly go wrong about this date? "It's just one date, dude," Finn tried to console me. "He's right. Just try to keep an open mind," Dylan said. "Who knows, maybe she's wonderful and it's Hudson's loss for pawning her off on you." "Hey, I don't have any trouble finding my own dates," my brother protested. "Neither do I," I grumbled. "Hooking up with a girl is not the same as getting a date," Dylan challenged. "Who died and made you the expert of women and dating? Have you ever been on one single date since you got here?" Asher asked. "Don't need to. My girl's waiting for me back home, and you know that." "She's not your true mate, though. What happens when you're here and she finds her one and only?" Dylan growled. "That's not going to happen." "What are the odds of any of us finding our true mate? That's fantasy stuff," I argued.
"Tell that to Chad and Brett," Finn pointed out.
"And Jackson," Asher noted. "Don't forget Chase and Damon," Hudson piped in.
"Come to think of it, I think you're more likely to find your true mate than she is. I mean, she's never left your pack, and if someone there were her one and only, then she would probably have met him already. But you're out in the world now. I have a theory that the doghouse has been so blessed with true mates because there's so many shifters coming together that otherwise wouldn't have," Finn said. I groaned. "I hope you're wrong. Despite what Hudson thinks, I could care less about dating. Playing the field is more fun. Besides, we're young. Who wants to settle down at 19?
"Tim did, and he seems pretty happy about it," Dylan mentioned. Tim was the new guy in the house. He wasn't a brother, but for some reason everyone was treating him as if he were. We'd taken a vote and agreed to let him rent a room in the house, but the truth is, he fits in great. Tim Smith was really the kind of guy everybody liked. He was just one of the good ones. His mate, Jess, was pretty great, too. They'd made it over winter break, and housing had been scarce on campus as they were remodeling a few of the older dorms. There was no mated housing left, and Tim just transferred to the Ark and would have been screwed without us.
I had been skeptical at first, but it was working out just fine. While there was no rushing going on second semester, we were leaning towards making him an honorary brother until he could make it official next year. We were already thinking of him that way anyway. I'm happy for Tim because he's happy, I admitted. But that's not going to be me.
What's not going to be you? Chad asked as he and Brett joined us at the table.
Oh, he's not going to fall prey to his true mate the way you guys did, Dylan said, shooting me a wicked grin.
That's not what I said. Brett shrugged. You're lost, dude. Besides, none of us were exactly preparing for it.
Chad laughed.
Yeah, it's definitely not something you could ever prepare for. I don't care how open to it you are, it's still going to be a blindside.
Tell me about it, Brett said, rolling his eyes.
We all knew the story of how Brett basically met his true mate in front of the entire school at a rally. At the time, they were basically archenemies, but it was hard to remember that now. Brett hadn't handled things well and basically got drunk and started a taco fight on the quad. Each of my fallen brothers had a mating story to tell. I would be perfectly happy finishing out my college days with no such tale of my own. The guys gave me a hard time about the blind date thing for much of the rest of the afternoon. I was taking her to the steakhouse in town. Hudson's choice, not mine. He'd set everything up for me. Maybe I should have been grateful, but mostly I was still irritated he'd suckered me into it. As if that wasn't bad enough, the guys congregated in my room and picked out my freaking clothes like I was a 2-year-old. They were having way too much fun at my expense, and I knew that was all this was. By the time I was dressed and it was time to go, I was just thankful to get away from those assholes.
Have a great time, Dylan yelled from the front porch of the doghouse.
Be on your best behavior, Asher added.
Treat her like a lady and not like your normal girls. Remember, it's a date, Dylan hollered.
Don't be a dick, my brother yelled for all to hear.
I flipped them the bird and never looked back.
Marie, Chapter 3. I'd spend all day begging every available female I could find to go on this blind date. I didn't even care what kind of shifter they were at this point, but no one would agree. By 6 o'clock, I knew I was screwed. I couldn't call and cancel at the last second. There was no way I would do that to Hudson. I took a deep breath. I knew what I was going to have to do. What did one even wear on a blind date? I knew he was taking me to one of the nicer restaurants in town, so I pulled on a classic little black dress, but tamed it down with my black chucks and a few varying size necklaces. Jesse was out again with Tim, so I didn't even have anyone to run this decision by. I carefully applied some makeup and then gave myself a once-over before heading out. The agreement was that we would meet at the restaurant, which meant I got to drive myself. If it was a complete disaster, at least I had an escape and wasn't stuck at his mercy. Before I could change my mind, I left my dorm, walked to the lot my car was parked in, got in the car, and drove to the restaurant. At every red light, I wanted to turn back and had to remind myself why I was doing this. Hudson was a great guy and a good friend. He had asked me for this favor, and even though it was not at all how it was supposed to be planned, I still couldn't bring myself to let him down. I sat outside the steakhouse for a few minutes longer than was necessary, just giving myself a little pep talk. Part of me wanted to run away, while the other part just wanted to throw up. You can do this, Marie. It's only one night of your life, and then you never have to see the guy again. I forced myself to get out of the car and walk into the restaurant. Maybe he won't show. He could stand me up. It was still a possibility. I tried to remember what Hudson had said about him. I couldn't think of a thing except that he would be holding a yellow rose and that's how I'd find him, or how Jesse would find him if the traitor hadn't gone and found her own maid instead. I really wasn't upset with Jesse. I was happy for her, but I really, really, really did not want to do this. Why can't I just say no? I hesitated once more with my hand on the door. I can do this. I walked inside and looked around. A really cute waiter came over to speak with me.
Are you Jesse?
Yeah, sure. He gave me a concerned look.
Well, are you or aren't you?
Yeah, sort of. Is this about my blind date? He grinned and offered me his arm.
Well, right this way, m'lady. I'm Damon and I will be your server tonight. Holden's just over here.
Holden,
Right. I was struggling to remember the guy's name. Suddenly, there he was in a corner booth at the back of the restaurant. I gulped. A private booth. I saw the flower in his hand, and for a second I thought it was Hudson and started to relax. Then the guy looked up, and his eyes locked with mine. A shiver of awareness shot through my body, and the only thing I was absolutely aware of was this guy staring back at me. His mouth dropped open, and then he closed it and stood up. "Holden, this is Jesse. Jesse Holden. Can I get you a drink to start with?" Coke?" I sounded like I was asking for permission. "Sure thing," Damon winked at me. "Have fun, kids." "Hi," he said in a breathless voice. "I'm Holden." He offered me his hand. I looked at it like it was a foreign object. My hand was shaking as I slowly reached for his. The jolt that shot through my arm felt like I'd just grabbed a live electrical wire. "Mine," a voice in my head told me. He felt it too. I could see it in his eyes. "This can't be happening." He seemed hesitant to let go of my hand as we stood there gawking at each other. So you're Hudson's brother? You sort of look alike. A little, but not really," I said, trying for small talk to break the awkwardness that had set in as we stood there staring at each other. I was probably just making it worse with my mindless rambling. "Yup, we're, twins." I must have showed surprise on my face. He smiled. He had a really great smile that did something to me inside. "Your friend didn't tell you?" "He didn't tell me. He just said you were brothers." Mildly aware of the fact that we were still standing next to our table shaking hands for so long, that people nearby were starting to look our way, I pulled my hand back from his. I immediately missed the connection. It was the oddest feeling. I slid into the booth. He still looked a little confused, but followed my lead. When our legs brushed under the table, it felt like my world righted again. Oh boy, this isn't good.
"So you're Jesse," he said.
My cheeks burned, and my wolf growled in my head. No. Jesse couldn't make it. She made it over winter break.
"Oh."
He had a weird look on his face, but then shook it off.
"So who exactly are you, then?"
I cleared my throat. "Marie, I'm friends with Hudson." He seemed confused, or like he was trying to piece things together. I blurted out, "No one would take a blind date. I tried everything. I even begged but couldn't find anyone to take Jesse's place."
"So you showed up instead. Why?"
I sighed. "I hate disappointing people. And Hudson asked me to set you up with a friend, a good girl," I added. "That's what he had told me he wanted for his brother. His brother, Holden, my one true mate. His brother who hooks up with any girl willing to look his way. The one who needed a good girl in his life for once. Because you're a man whore, and he's worried about you," I blurted out loud enough that the nearest table stopped talking and looked our way. I blushed furiously.
"That's what he told you?"
He looked upset, maybe even a little angry. I didn't want to meet his eyes again, afraid of what I'd see there.
"I'm not," he said.
I could feel the lie rolling easily off of his tongue. My head shot up, and no doubt there were accusations in my eyes. My wolf growled again, but I managed to keep it from erupting from me. The thought of him being with lots of other girls made me want to puke. It was ridiculous. I didn't even know him. "You should probably know that I apparently have a built-in lie detector where you're concerned. I can feel that you're lying."
Shit. That shouldn't be happening this fast. Should it?
How am I supposed to know? I was in shock that he was even acknowledging whatever this was between us. "Mate," my wolf reminded me. "I know, but stop saying it. It's freaking me out." Before we could say anything further, Damon swung by our table with drinks. He was all smiles until he really looked at us. The smile faded from his face and he turned to Holden. "Are you okay?" I knew then that he was obviously friends with the waiter. It was probably why he picked the place to begin with. I was so overwhelmed and trying to just hold it together. All I wanted to do was run away. I didn't want to deal with a mate, let alone a true mate. It was too much. I wasn't ready.
"We're fine," Holden answered for us both.
Sure. Whatever.
What are you guys eating? Holden went first. I didn't even care.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?